Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're owner, you throw me off, owner, actor, or just plain old aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you. Oh, she gave me a look. It was terrifying.
Oh.
I'm scared. How are you doing, Crystal? It's good to be back, even if I totally just blew the intro.
Yeah, I know. You guys should know by now who we're for.
Who we are, what we're about, blah, blah, blah. You know.
And if we're back again, you know we're for you. Yeah, yay. Yeah.
If you're listening, we're already the podcast for you, so you know, there you go. You got that, right?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, we got a good topic this week. This is a topic that I think you and I are unusually passionate about. In hundreds of haunt visits.
You know, someone who records a weekly podcast about haunting is unusually passionate about haunting.
Yeah, maybe.
But a lot of us think about it all the time, but...
But this particular element of haunting is one that has been a big deal for both of us over the years, and something we've noticed and have long discussed.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really happy to be turning this into a full episode. But we got a lot to go over this week.
Right.
This is a lot of ground to cover. So let's do our conference reminders.
Yes.
Crystal, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. First, we have Halloween Extreme.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad when that one rolls off in a few
May
weeks.
May 15th through 17th at the Doubletree Universal Studios, Orlando, Florida. And you can find more information at HalloweenExtreme.com.
And then June 3rd through 4th, you have Virginia Haunt Fest at the Misty Mountain Camp Resort in Greenwood, Virginia, aimed at Virginia Haunters. You can find out more about it at VirginiaHauntFest.com.
Midwest Haunters Convention is June 10th through 12th at Greater Columbus Convention Center. Tour of the Scaratorium, MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Yeah, that's a hell of a domain name. Midwest Haunters, plural, Convention.com.
Yes.
Then we have Chicago Frights, July 29th through 31st at Orland Park, Illinois. Giorgio's Quality Inn and Suites. And obviously Chicago. If you didn't pick that up.
It's gonna be ChicagoFrights.com, yeah.
If you didn't pick that one up. ChicagoFrights.com.
Then Scare LA, August 6th through 7th. Pasadena Convention Center, ScareLA.com. Elvira is hosting.
And she's looking good from the photos.
I'm
impressed. Mm-hmm. And then after that you have Mask Fest. This is getting too literally tight to some seasons, I know, but it's September 9th through 11th at the Marriott Indianapolis East. That is at maskfest.com. All kinds of great makeup, masking, and costuming stuff there.
Right, and just a quick note, because someone noted it after the last big convention with lots of masks. When you're trying on masks, remember, other people are trying those on too, and there might be a bug.
Yeah,
just watch out for that.
Be sure to lick inside the mask very thoroughly every time you try on a mask.
Sneeze into it if you want.
Blow your nose. It's all good.
It just adds to the ambiance of the mask.
All right.
All right. And finally, we have Legendary Haunt Tour November 11th through 12th. This is at the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Hotel TBA.
It's in Pittsburgh.
We don't know the hotel. It's done by the Transworld people, though.
Yes. Visiting Scare House and 100 Acres Manor. And
please do not confuse that with the 100 Acres Forest. That was Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. And you can find more information at legendaryhaunttour.com.
And that's with two T's, haunttour.com.
Yes. And obviously, links to all of this will be in them.
We are not very good as an industry at picking our domains, are we?
Well,
says the guy that owns Plagiarism Today. I know, shut up. But
yeah, well, you know. Astronomers are on that same level, you know, spaghettification.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's what happens when you approach a black hole, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
So, that, I believe, is all of our conference reminders. If we missed one, if you know one I am not aware of, very possible, nay, extremely likely,
yes,
let us know. You can find us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. You can find us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly.
Seeing a theme.
Yeah, I know. And you can find us on the interwebs at hauntweekly.com. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what we missed. Please. Fill in the gaps.
Yep. And then we'll give them a shout out next time.
Shout. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on. So we're talking about mazes this week.
Yeah.
And to be clear, we're talking about mazes within haunted houses. I really wanted to draw this distinction loud, proud, and clear in the beginning.
Right, and there is a reason to make the distinction. Because when you go to a haunted house, you're not expecting to be thrown into just a maze.
Not necessarily, no.
Right.
And there are plenty of really cool attractions that are maze attractions.
Yes.
There are, like, corn mazes every year. There's tons of those and other farm mazes. There's some standalone structures which do it.
Right.
I mean, even the local laser tag place to us has a neat little maze thing that we did in the pouring rain one time.
Right. Well, a laser tag arena itself can be considered a maze in a way.
Yes, it can. But... Well, yeah, it can.
some of the same elements, at least.
Yeah, but these are things that are advertised, built, and constructed and operated solely as a maze.
Right.
You know, and you're going into it wearing your puzzle-solving hat.
You know exactly what you're in for.
Exactly.
You know that you are going into a maze.
And that is the goal and the objective. And plus, this really, these attractions are very well, most of them at least, not all of them, are very well designed to be a maze.
Right.
Which means they address some of the throughput issues.
Right.
They address some of the problems that we're going to talk about later that you really can't do within the confines of a haunted house.
Yeah.
When you have an entire field to play around with, you can do a lot more than in the spare room of your haunt.
Right. Now, I have heard of haunts that were complete blackout mazes and were advertised as such.
That's fine too.
So that is a haunted house that advertises as a blackout maze haunted house.
I don't understand that clientele, but there is definitely a market for that.
Well, there's a market for it, and I actually saw a talk on this at a conference, the one in Baton Rouge, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was Hong Kong, 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago in Hong Kong. Basically, she was talking about how that was the first haunt that they did, and it was able to pull in enough money to build a real haunt the next year.
Okay, fair enough.
So I can see that working.
As long as it's promoted and marketed correctly.
Right.
And like you said, when you have the entire attraction centered around a maze theme, you can take steps to address many of the concerns and many of the issues we have around mazes. You're able to fix the throughput. You're able to really get the actors honed down on the maze thing. And you can actually plan the maze out in such a way that you know roughly how long it's going to take for someone to get through it.
Yep.
So a lot of the stuff that you don't, a lot of the problems you have, and most of it just comes simply being prepared to be thrown into a maze.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into. Is fixed by having the whole attraction being a maze. However, mazes inside haunted attractions are not super cool, in my opinion.
No.
I love maze attractions. I do not like mazes inside haunted houses, personally.
No.
And the reason is simple. Haunted attractions are not mazes. You use the word maze around, like, Leonard Pickle or someone, he will literally beat you to death at Hong Kong convention show floor.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's what it'll look
like. Dude, he killed two people last year.
Oh, spreading rumors and legends.
We are an industry that thrives on legend, Crystal.
I know. Exactly why I was pointing it out.
I'm just helping it along.
All right.
But yes, but haunted attractions are not mazes.
Right. In fact, you can get in trouble with fire codes and stuff if you market it as a maze, or you put it inside.
Maze anywhere.
Yeah.
It can be maze-like in
some
ways.
When you're doing your building plans, you have to be very specific that you're not a maze, even if you're laid out, because you're... Well, we'll get into all that.
Well, I mean, the main thing is this. Haunted attractions have a clear path.
Exactly.
There are no wrong turns.
Correct.
In a well-designed haunted attraction.
Yeah.
You are always moving forward, and that's the idea. You're supposed to be always moving forward. You're always moving forward. Every turn you take gets you further toward the exit.
Right.
You are never going to get to a dead end where you have to turn around. There are no dead ends. There are no loop back around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We say that. I know we've been to a few that broke those rules.
Yeah. It was kind of annoying.
There's that one in Slidell that I...
Yes.
You know, and maybe we'll talk more about that one if we have a little extra time at the end of this. I think that'd be a good conversation for why you don't do this.
Yeah.
But yes, it can feel like a maze. It definitely should feel like a maze.
Yes.
I'm taking all these wacky, zany turns. I don't know where I am or where I'm going. But yet you do know where you're going.
Yes.
Forward.
There's a clear path. It's through the pews or down the hallway.
And in a haunted attraction, patrons expect to be scared.
Right.
Not to be forced into solving complicated problems.
Yeah.
And a maze is a very, very complicated problem indeed. Yeah. Now, I wanted to take a minute and look at why a lot of haunts, in particular smaller, lower budget ones, add mazes.
Okay.
And the first reason is they're easy to build.
They are.
If you're doing panel-based construction, congratulations, you've got all the components of a maze.
Yeah. You got that and some black paint.
You got a maze, man.
Which is why it's also good for a starter haunt who does want to build money for the next year.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take a lot to start up.
No, it does not. You know, get some panels together, some brackets.
Yep.
Some cross-supporting pieces. You win the game.
Yep.
So,
it requires little space.
Yes.
Requires little materials to start up.
Requires very, very little space. You can do an effective maze probably in about 500 square feet, maybe less.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a 625 square foot miniature haunt there. I'm pretty sure if we converted it to an honest to God confusing maze.
Oh, God.
It would work very, very well.
It would.
As a maze.
Yeah. I'm glad we don't.
I'm glad we don't, too.
Because I like doing the set designs, and that's something you don't get in mazes. Well, I mean,
you can. Some mazes do have very good set design, but it is more rare. And the reason it's more rare is because with mazes, you're expected to be touching the walls, you're expecting to be feeling things.
Well, it's not only that, but it's more confusing for all the walls to look the same.
Yeah.
So...
And if you have scenes lit and one room obviously different from another,
right.
It's easier to figure your way out of the maze.
Right.
And that's not what you're trying to do with a maze. You are trying to actively confuse. And that's one of the reasons like corn mazes work so well. Because I'm not a farmer. To me, all corn looks like all other corn.
Yeah.
Yep, corn to me. We're done. Conversation. Well, we took a left turn here. There's more corn.
Yes.
That's pretty much the extent of those... for me...
Is that the wind or an actor? I don't know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. but yeah, they require very little space. They require few actors. And that's because with the nature of people doubling back and coming around, actors get multiple shots at the same group.
Right.
Over and over again.
They get multiple shots and patrons can actually scare each other
on
accident by running into each other.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, I mean, I think honestly, going back to our little thing, if we had it as a maze, we would only probably need two actors.
Yeah.
Normally we have about, what, 10 to 12?
Yeah.
We could probably get by with two to three tops.
Yeah.
And they would get in all kinds of great scares. Mm-hmm. So yes, if we're ever totally desperate for actors, we know I was not
Maybe we should have started out that way when we did only have three people.
And we just had blackout walls, too. Man,
no, we didn't. I have never done blackout walls in the whole haunt.
We did in significant portions at one point. It's all right, though.
I don't believe you.
We grew past. but I guess the real reason that a lot of haunts do this is because it pads out the time.
Yeah.
600 square feet... Going back to what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You turn that into a haunted attraction. Your walkthrough time is between 2 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on how fast the groom moves. It's not long.
Right.
It's not brisk at all. However, you turn that into a maze.
Yeah.
People can be in there 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty easy, depending on how many dead ends you got and how obvious you make the wrong ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it pads out the time. It makes the haunt feel longer and bigger than it is. Right. And it can make it feel like a better value.
It can, because that dollar per minute takes up.
Yeah. And now, we've sat here on this very podcast. We've talked about the dollar per minute.
This one.
Oh. This podcast. I know. We talk about haunt stuff. Don't know if you noticed. But we've talked about the approximate dollar per minute rule, or $1.20 per minute, or, you know, there's variations of the formula. I use a dollar per minute with the attitude of, if you come in significantly under that, you'd better give me a damn good reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be, I am so immersed in your haunt that I forget the time.
Yeah, I totally, it does not matter though. I paid $20 and only got 12, you know?
Yeah.
It was so amazeballs, I totally don't care.
Yes.
If that happens, power unto you. And it has happened.
Yes.
But, you know, it's one of those things where but some people are like, oh, our runtime's a little short. You know, the people going through this in about 10 minutes. I know, we'll stick a giant maze at the end of it and slow them down.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the chainsaw dude right outside.
Gotta have the chainsaw dude.
Okay. And I'll say this also. These mazes tend to be very, very scary and very memorable.
Yes. And a lot of customers do love them.
Yes.
We just don't happen to belong to that group.
Well, a lot of customers love them because they're so memorable.
Right.
I mean, okay, like, I remember the Boy Scout haunt you and I worked at way back.
Right.
This is going way, way, way back.
Yeah.
It's going back, I think, to the late 90s or something, isn't it?
Early 2000s.
In that area, in that time.
I didn't move to South Carolina until 2000.
So. Oh, that's right, you didn't. So it had to be early 2000 then.
Yeah.
But it was this prototypical charity haunt where they did a pretty decent haunted attraction. And then on the very back of it, they stuck in a maze.
Yeah.
And you ask, how long does it take to go through the haunt? And they'd feed you the answer, well, it could be anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, depending on how you quickly get through the maze.
Yeah.
But what that shows you is that you're probably spending at least half your time in that maze.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's the last thing you do, then it's going to be more memorable, and it's going to be a significant percentage of your time.
Right.
Of course it's more memorable.
Yeah, and they had the added bonus of putting Vaseline on the walls to make it feel like it was gore.
They did a lot of stuff in that maze.
They had maze monsters.
But I gotta say, as someone who was an actor in one of the earlier scenes, I found that frustrating a little bit.
Well, yeah, and honestly, we have actually avoided haunted houses that are known to have big mazes in them.
Yeah.
Because we just don't like them.
Well, we don't like them, and I really think, especially if you want your haunt to be huge.
Yeah.
You want this to be a big haunt. You don't see mazes like this at House of Shock, 13th Gate, the Mortuary.
No.
Not even, like, Rise. Not even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't see them at these big haunts. You see them almost exclusively at the smaller, lower-budget ones.
Yeah.
And the reasons are the ones we just put in there. They're easy to build. They don't require a lot of space.
Yeah.
They don't require many actors, and they can pad out your time.
Yeah. I think the only one that we routinely went to, even knowing it had a maze, was Lafitte Fire Department.
And the maze portion of it was limited, too.
Yeah, it was very small. It was in their burn house.
The burn building they have.
Yeah.
It's basically like a training room, if you don't know.
Fireman
training room.
Yeah.
Basically, they would fill it up. They would turn on their little smoke thingies they had in there for simulating fire. And you would meander through it, and they had people. And I, unfortunately, once did walk right into a goddamn wall.
Yeah. Well, you also headbutted an actor and wound up both of you bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting to that part.
I know.
But, yeah, because mazes, I can see some people taking notes right now. Damn, I need to have a maze. I don't know what these two idiots are talking about. Maze sounds perfect.
Yeah. So let's get on with the problems.
Oh, God, the problems. First and foremost, and this is, like, to me, numero uno here, it kills throughput. It kills your capacity.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you were just talking about. Oh, it could be anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour. Well, if it's an hour, that's a lot of people that aren't getting to go through.
Yeah.
Because you've got to time it to where you aren't meeting capacity.
Yeah. And that's one of the problems is this. I mean, we talk about scare forward. We talk about keeping the line moving.
Right.
everything Amaze is about the opposite of that.
Yes.
It's about forcing people to turn around.
Right.
It's about forcing people to go backwards.
Yeah.
It's about holding them up when they should be moving forward.
Yeah.
So yes, it completely murders your capacity.
Yeah.
And it's so bad because, and I know at the Boy Scout Haunt, for example, they had a tremendous line Halloween night.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get everyone through.
Right.
Because they didn't have the capacity because of the damned maze.
Yeah. Which is a shame because at that time, that was the only haunted attraction in the area.
Yeah. And it was a charity haunt to help the local Boy Scout troops.
Right.
It was a good cause.
A lot of people came out and had money in hand and were ready
to go and couldn't go.
I got my boss and his kids to come out. So.
That's the problem, is it murders your throughput, and throughput is money, man. That is it.
Yes, you want to throw away money, build a maze inside of your haunt.
Making it rain on someone else is what you're doing. But yeah, and again, one of the problems with it is that mazes can't be scaled.
Right.
And let me explain what I mean by that. And this is something that gets talked about a lot at haunt conventions and so forth. Every haunt starts out saying, we'll never do a conga line.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when you've got a line busting out the ass?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, we'll just take in bigger groups.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, you're either taking in groups of two such a size, or you're putting them so close together, you've got a conga line.
Yep.
At least a short one, right? You've at least got like a 20 to 30 person conga line.
Yeah.
That's, if you design a haunt well, that is something that can be worked around.
Right.
Mazes can never be conga lined in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
They require forced separation of groups.
Right.
Which means you're probably going to have an internal queue somewhere letting into the maze.
Mm.
What are you about to say, though? Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, I know that we go back to the 13th gate a lot, but...
Of course we do.
Yeah. I've never felt like I was in a conga line in the 13th gate because they let you in your group. You do the elevator thing. It breaks up the groups nicely. And eventually you do wind up running into one other group, possibly. But it never feels like a conga line.
And to be completely fair, we have never been there on a night where they had to bypass the elevators. There have been a few times that I'm aware of,
we've heard
repeated stories about it, where the line was so crushing that they had to get, they had to bypass the elevators,
right.
And that type of thing happens, and that's, but even then, but, I think the, go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, that kind of thing happens, but we've been on off nights and off seasons at other haunts where there weren't
huge lines,
and they still let everybody in, or they still let large numbers of people in.
Yeah, like the Revelation, they let the entire
line in. Yeah, well, there's that, but I mean, even Mortuary and House of Shock let in, you know, several groups of people at a time.
Well,
Mortuary's gotten better about it over the past year or two.
Yeah, their front of house, in terms of their organization's gotten stronger. I have other things with the Mortuary. Now, House of Shock, they killed their throughput with the stage show.
Yeah.
And that's a whole separate topic.
But yeah.
They have their own capacity issues because of the stage show.
Right.
But the problem is, and this is just, you know, you can't have a lot of people in the maze at one time. It cannot be conga lined.
Right.
And if you're busy, you're going to have to set up an internal queue to break up the groups further, and that's just going to completely kill, because now instead of having this huge line out front, you've got a huge crushing line somewhere in your haunt.
Yeah.
Not good, not safe.
Nope.
Fire code issue. You mentioned this in passing.
Yes.
Let's get in more detail here.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know, especially in the New Orleans area, fire code very specifically prohibits maze structures.
Yeah.
Because we looked into it whenever we were building our first yard haunt. Because we wanted to go to the city and get all the permits and stuff. And it just, they're like, no, you can't do that. So, you know, we changed it up.
Yeah. But the point to that, though, is there's a reason why so many actual maze attractions are open air.
Yeah. outdoor.
And outdoor and open air. And the reason is because that makes it much easier to have a maze and comply with fire code.
Right.
Because one of the challenges you find in fire code, and this is something you can, it's difficult enough in just a damned haunted house.
Yeah.
And that is you have to have emergency exits so many linear feet.
Right.
What the flip is a linear foot inside a maze?
Yeah, no kidding.
It gets to be a bit of a nightmare, and that's just one problem.
Yeah.
There's 80 bajillion D others.
Yeah.
I counted them all. There's exactly 80 bajillion D.
Yes. Real number.
Real number. there are a ton of problems with fire code, and especially, like you said, these are usually blackout mazes.
Right.
Most common. So, well, now you got emergency lighting and exit lighting issues. And
right. And you've got probably sprinkler issues because you can't get the fire suppression systems down far enough into it. You know, you've got all sorts of problems with it,
yeah.
Basically.
And these are not problems. I mean, they're problems you do have with a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
But they're problems that are made much, much, much worse
now,
when you have this kind of layout.
Yeah. Now, I have heard of one fire inspector at a haunt con. He was talking about how they made them spray their corn maze with fire retardant.
Yeah.
For, you know, so even if it's outdoor, sometimes you can't get around.
I hope they didn't sell that flipping corn. I just want to say that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like cut corn that they had just put up so it was like dead and rustly.
Hmm.
Or if it was
like living, breathing corn stalks.
Right. Or if it was still growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would yeah. hope they would not make him spray living, breathing corn, like corn breeze.
Well, it's a plant. It takes in, you know, carbon dioxide.
It does that whole
puts
thing.
Puts out oxygen for us.
I guess it does
us,
kind of
so,
breathe, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, I would hope that's the case, but, you know. Yes, you can still run into fire code issues even with an open air one, but it is much, much easier typically.
Right.
Because you're not a structure, it's not an enclosed environment. And the truth of the matter is, if I see a fire in a corn maze and I'm inside the corn maze, I'm just leaving through the stalks, you know?
Yes.
I'm going the opposite way to fire path, be damned.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's my
hopefully
right.
You can run fast enough because corn does go up pretty quick.
But you know, but that's what I'm saying. That's my privilege as a human being.
Right.
Dealing with corn.
Oh look, a fire! Let me run the opposite way.
You don't have that luxury inside an enclosed structure, usually.
Right.
It's also flipping dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I have been injured in a haunted attraction, it involved a maze in some way.
Not every time.
Well, okay. That was the haunt. I know what you're thinking, and that
yeah.
was the haunt that was doing the maze stuff.
Yes.
You're right. It did not actually involve a maze part of the haunt, but their recklessness with safety showed in all aspects of,
yeah.
of their haunt. But no, I mean, and the problem is, you're moving around a dark room. You're trying to find your way around everything. There are actors in there trying to scare you, usually. If not, there are other scares in there instead.
Right.
And the result of that is you're going to collide with people and walls.
Yes. And whenever you're in a darkened maze and you're following all the rules and not having your light on, and the group behind you comes in with the bright flashlight
oh.
on, it doesn't end well.
And shine it right in your damned eyes. Oh, God, yes.
Yes. Well, that's what made me headbutt you.
Yeah, you...
that's
you,
how
you
I got
blinded.
Your nose.
I get you. You recoiled. It was a reflex recoil. So you,
yeah.
she recoiled, and like the back of her head right on the bridge of my nose, because you're just like that little hair shorter than me.
Yeah.
So it was like perfect lineup.
yeah.
yeah. But I mean, we slammed into one actor at Lafitte. I slammed into a wall there once, too.
Yeah.
And other mazes, I've gotten splinters because I've had to feel the walls.
Right.
And things like that. And so, yeah, there's way more hazard there. You are constantly touching things. And especially when you get multiple groups of patrons in the same maze.
Yeah.
The risk just keeps going higher and higher and higher.
Right.
And yes, the injuries will probably be minor. But you know what? You want a 1-star review on Yelp, a bloody nose is a good place to start.
It is. So they're also very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, a haunted attraction, people come to be scared.
Right.
They don't come to be frustrated.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a terror not being able to find your way out. I grant that. But after a certain amount of time,
yeah,
that terror fades.
Yeah, that was the one thing about the Waterloo haunt that we didn't like was the maze. Because
yeah.
We knew we had gone around it at least 3 times.
Yeah.
And could not find the exit.
Yes. And we ended up, and it was kind of frustrating because it was the last thing on the damned haunt, realistically.
Well, no.
Other than the little ride.
Yeah, yeah, the maze was.
The maze part was.
The maze was the last thing.
Other than the little ride back home base.
Yeah, but that doesn't really count.
And that's apparently a layout thing they change up every year.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was the last part of the haunt. So that's the memory we're stuck with, is having seen everything, having done everything, and not being able to figure out how to get out of the damn room.
Yeah.
It's not scary anymore. It's just annoying. I want to go home. I want, you know, an elephant ear. I want the soda.
Yeah, because the rest of that was awesome.
The rest of the damn...
Highly recommended.
Yeah, highly recommend this haunt. I'm looking forward to going back this year.
Yeah.
If time comes. And now we know the secret, which is if you don't want to do the maze, you just... Around it.
Walk around it, yeah.
So now we know that, and that comes up a little further down here, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets frustrating, man.
It can.
And frustration is not fear. It's not... Because fear, it's like you get the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
You feel alive. Frustration doesn't give you that.
Nope.
It just doesn't. And here's the thing to be thinking of when dealing with mazes, especially if your intent is to keep people trapped a certain period of time. Panic attacks are a real risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I grant we're haunted attractions, panic attacks are a risk, period.
Yes.
But many people who know that they are have panic attack triggered by being trapped...
Right, or claustrophobia or
whatever,
like that.
...might still go to a haunted attraction, because typically those aren't things that haunts do. They do distract and startles and so forth. They don't usually lock you in somewhere.
Yeah.
And like I said, I just don't think they're very fun, and... You know, going back to Waterloo.
Yeah.
I don't think we're alone saying that.
No.
Because every other person in our group, and we had about 10 people in our group, plus another group of 10 that was also touring the maze. And
okay.
There was a lot of people in that maze by the time we were done.
Yeah, I guess so.
But nobody was happy about the maze.
No. I think maybe the 4-year-old.
Okay, there you go.
He might have liked it.
There you go. Everyone, we have found the market for your maze.
Yep.
4-year-old. But no, I mean, so, all this begs a question is, can haunts use mazes? And I say, yes, you can. The key is have it as a separate attraction.
Yep, and market it as such.
Yeah, what would have happened if, going back to Waterloo, instead of having the maze at the end,
uh-huh.
Which they did not need to pad their time out at all.
No.
We had been on that damn trail for 20-odd minutes already.
Yeah, and only paid like $10.
It was a ridiculously
good deal.
It was
really great.
They had nothing to pad. They didn't need to stuff their bra. They were fine.
Yeah.
They were just fine. But what if they had had the trail, and then the maze is a separate $5 deal?
Yeah.
And then you just mentally prepare yourself. I'm going into a maze, and you go into a maze.
Yeah. That could be fun.
I think that I'd have been cool with that. And I think I would have actually enjoyed the maze way, way more.
Yeah.
Especially in that case, because like we said, it was at the end of like a 20-minute walk.
Right.
And this is a trail haunt, so it's up and down and it's got hills and stuff. We'd been hiking for 20 minutes, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't in Louisiana where it's all flat.
this wasn't like a little stroll through the woods. This was a hike with scares, is what it was, which is awesome.
Yes, okay.
But it was also tiring, and it's like, oh, man.
Now, I do want to bring up one quick thing.
What?
What about the mirror mazes? Like, we see in very sparse use, but like at 13th Gate, because they have
They had a glass maze once.
They've had it for a couple years.
Yeah. You know, once again, it's short, though.
It is. It's very short. It's not a big part of it.
And there's no wrong turns.
There are no wrong turns. And if you know how to do them, like you do.
I went to enough state fairs as a little boy to know how this game's played.
Yeah, then it's
pro
pretty
tip,
easy.
Look for the caulk. Just look down and look for the caulk lines.
Yes.
If anybody ever figures out how to make one of these mazes without caulk lines, I am screwed.
Okay. All right. So buy clear silicone caulk for your mazes to confuse Jonathan.
But no, like, that segment was super short.
Yeah.
We were in and out of that in, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. I'm not even sure it could be considered a maze at that point.
Because I think it was just a path. It was just a mirror. I can't remember if it was mirror glass.
It was mirror.
It was mirror, because it was a mirror path, but it was silly short.
Yeah.
I think it was only like 20 to 30 linear feet.
Yeah.
It was not very long. It only had one actor in it.
Yeah.
And the whole point of it was driving you forward still. It was not an actual honest to God maze. It was just dealing with the mirror effect.
Right.
Rather than, and that, I mean, that I put that particular thing in the same category. I put vertigo tunnels and things like that.
Yeah.
It's not really a maze, but it's still, you might want to reconsider how it's slowing your flow and how it's impacting people.
Yeah, well, that's why I bring it up, because I just...
No, it's a good point. And
it kind of fits with this theme.
It does. It fits with it in many ways, because, you know, but that one in particular, the one we're talking about here at 13th Gate, it did not have any wrong turns. You could not go a wrong way. It was just a matter of which ways they're not a mirror.
But, you know, we have an expert maze walker, so
we
don't know.
I can tell you which are mirrors and which are not easily, but I cannot tell you which way to go in a maze.
Yeah,
I have like no spatial orientation skills here. So, long and short of it is, I can tell you if the glass is there or not. If there had been wrong paths, I can pretty much guarantee you I would have found one.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So market the attraction as such. This is something I think we all need to get better about. Make your haunt more maze-like.
Yeah.
You can have a unified single path, but use a combination of prop-based and wall-based design to really disorient the crap out of people, make heavy use of twists and turns, and here's something that I have not seen a haunt do, and I would love to see it.
Okay.
Which is you have a room with two paths in it.
Uh-huh.
But one path you go down in the beginning of the haunt,
uh-huh.
and then as you make the return loop, you go back through the same room down the other path.
Yeah.
So this way you're revisiting something you've seen,
yeah.
but from a different angle, and that contributes to the feeling of being very lost.
Right. And, you know, whenever I read that in the show notes,
because
I'm looking at them, I thought what you were talking about was recreating the exact same lead-up hallway and room. So that you would have
you could
the
do that
same...
too.
Yeah, because I was thinking about how would we do that in ours? And I'm like, well, the only way we could do that is if we just replicated the hallway and room, which is a cool idea.
It is
and
a cool
it
idea.
Would still be very disorienting, especially when they come out the other side and it's completely different.
It would be, but if you have one of those haunts where the entrance and the exit are near each other,
yeah.
you might have an opportunity to make a room, especially a big room toward the center, that they pass through twice, just from different directions.
Yeah.
And that can be disorienting, but also your idea, too, just create the same or nearly the same enough to disorient.
Right.
You know, basically is what it comes down to. If you feel like, despite all we've said, you feel like you need to have a maze, make it clear that it's a maze.
Yes, please.
Because how many times have we been in a haunted attraction that had a maze, we enter the maze, and then all of a sudden we're like halfway into the maze before we realize we're in a maze.
Yep.
That is really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and the thing about it is this, mazes and haunted attractions have different rules as far as how you touch, how you're supposed to navigate them.
Right.
And if I don't know I'm going into a maze, I don't know that I'm supposed to be doing something different.
Right, and not only that, but, you know, whenever you know that you're going into a maze, you try to remember which paths you've been down.
Yeah.
If you're suddenly find yourself in the middle of a maze, you have no idea where
you're
going.
Where the hell you've been, or where you're going, or anything.
Yeah.
Offer a clear way to avoid it, Waterloo.
Yes.
This is a big one. There are people out there who are claustrophobic and or otherwise just don't enjoy mazes.
Yeah.
Give them a way to get around it. Even if it means they exit early, just give them a way to avoid it and make it clear that they can do it.
Yeah. No, I actually did see the lighted path that went around the outside of the maze.
But
there was no signage that said skip the maze.
Skip the maze. It was just a lighted path.
Yeah.
And
so I wasn't sure.
I thought it might be an act. I saw the walkway too. I thought it was an actor run.
Yeah. Or what you do after you go in.
Yeah, or maybe that's where you come back out, or, you know, whatever. I didn't know it was a way to avoid the maze.
Right.
But it was. So there you go. Encourage your actors to show the way out after a set number of minutes.
Right, and that is something that Lafitte did.
Yes, they did. Lafitte and Waterloo both did, actually. We were eventually shown out, or helped out.
No, we found the door eventually.
But
I think.
But basically, going back to that Boy Scout haunt.
Yeah.
You should not have this deal where some people are spending 40 goddamn minutes in your maze.
No.
That is just frustration in a basket right there.
Yep.
That is not fun for anyone.
They're gonna remember the frustration when they leave, not the fun they had
exactly.
Before.
So tell your actors. If they're in longer than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever the time that's appropriate for that size maze, let them out.
Yep.
Murthy, murthy, murthy. be merciful, let them out. And, that's one of the other problems I have is if I have to ask an actor to help me out of a maze, that always bugs me because now I'm forcing this actor to break character.
Yep.
And the actor has to break character in order to, go play guide for this idiot who can't get out of a maze.
Yep.
Don't screw around with the exit door.
No. That's what tripped us up at Waterloo.
And that is one of the things I got this conversation. Because we were talking to another haunter earlier this week. He was like, and our exit door, it was, looked like any other panel, and you had to pull on it to leave.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
At Waterloo.
That is terrible.
Yeah, and I think that they had the added bonus of having it behind a piece of fabric.
Yeah.
So you had to move the fabric, find the door, pull on it instead of push on it, and then you got to leave.
Yay. Yeah, and I mean, it's don't mess around with the exit door. When they've completed the maze, when they have found their way to the exit, let them out.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating, and a couple haunts have done this. To be at the exit multiple times over the course. Like you said, I think we did the Waterloo maze 3 times correctly.
We did.
And didn't find the way out. And we could have been stuck in there a lot longer.
Yeah.
If, I can't remember who was, me, you, or Ellie, or whoever.
Or the group we ran into, literally.
One of us. Someone got the bright idea to pull on that door, and it worked. But, yeah. And also, with the maze, do not overload it with scares. Remember, you're supposed to make people feel trapped, and it's supposed to come from the fun. Supposed to come from the problem solving. If you are constantly attacking with scares the entire time, should include scares. But if you're constantly barraging with scares, it's just going to ruin the experience.
Yeah, and I think for mazes, the scares should be at the very beginning and at the very end.
Yeah.
So that they're a scare forward, basically. Yeah. Let them get lost in the middle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then scare them out.
Now, you can still do, ominous music and raise the tension a little.
Yeah, there's always atmosphere.
Absolutely, but don't go for the startles.
Yeah.
Don't go for the startles. There's the time.
That's just a way to run into dead ends.
Yeah.
Bam! Wall.
Which apparently, according to the haunter spoke to last week, happened a lot in his maze.
Can't imagine why.
And he was proud of it. I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
I don't think sending your customers running full headlong into a solid wall is good for either the wall or the customer.
No.
But here's the thing. Most haunts do not need a maze, in my experience.
Right.
There are just way, way, way better ways to pad out your haunt time.
Yeah.
And prop-based layout, we touched on it previously, is probably your best one.
Yeah.
We all the time go to these haunts where it's like, you go into a room, it's well decorated, it's very nice, but the entrance and the exit are perfectly in line with one another.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, bloop, 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 and you're out.
Yeah.
And if you'd put, a stretcher here, or a table, and a refrigerator, and
Or made them on opposite corners of the room.
Yeah, just sprinkle stuff around and move the doors, I could have been traversing the entirety of the room rather than going, it's a room.
Yep.
And then going through.
Yeah.
That part kills me when haunts do that because you can see the time, the attention, and the love, and I'm not going to see a damn bit of it because I'm not spending any time in that room. Take a look at your layout. If any of your rooms are just straight shots from A to B, fix it, you'll pad your route time out significantly.
Move a wall, move an animatronic.
Move all the above.
Yeah.
All the above.
Something has move to everything. Be moved.
Basically, the key is to make as many square feet in your haunt as walking path as you can.
Yeah.
The snakier, the better.
Yeah.
So yeah, better room layout, prop-based layout. Also, throw in more animation and effects. These are things that slow people down, causes people to look at them. Don't make, like, the darkness and really overload on them.
Right.
But if you've got a few in your haunt, people will stop. They'll pay attention. They'll look. They'll watch. And maybe you consider giving actors roles other than just simply startle.
Yeah.
Give actors roles that let them, you know, have a dialogue and engage. This slows that line down. Because the thing about it is this. A lot of haunts that have a problem with speed, it's not that the haunt itself is too small. I mean, some do have that problem.
Uh-huh.
It's not that the haunt is too small. It's just that there's nothing slowing the endless march of the audience down. While you need to have that ability for them to move, and that's how you get your throughput, you know, if you want to provide the best value, you've got to find that middle ground between rushing people through and giving them a really good long show.
Right. I would even make an argument for doing a very few scare stops. Not scare backwards, but a scare right in front of the crowd, just to stop them for a few seconds instead of doing a maze.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't encourage, but if you have to pad time, that's better than putting in a maze.
I agree. Because the problem at the end of the day is this. The maze is going to kill your throughput. It's going to kill your capacity. It is not going to make a lot of people that come through are going to be very unhappy with that.
Yep.
Because they weren't expecting a maze. They didn't feel like solving a problem. And there you go. You threw them to the wolves. And, I mean, we got a few minutes in our time.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, going back to that haunt slide, and I wish I could remember this haunt's name. It was only open that we're aware of for 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was silly dangerous.
Yes.
I do not know how it passed fire code anything.
I don't think it did. I think they just opened without
anything. Yeah. Yeah. Either that or the St. Tammany Parish. Fire Marshal.
It's not as strictly controlled as in New Orleans and Jefferson Parish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect as much. But, I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, I remember one section, you went into a room, and there was literally nowhere to go.
Nope.
Nowhere to go. There's doors.
Yep.
But they're all shut.
They're all shut. They all say exit.
Yeah. So I'm bad news if a fire breaks out here.
Have an actor telling you to go.
Go this way. He ushers you through one door, right?
You go to open it and it doesn't open.
Ah, just monkeying with you. Oh, this way. You actually go through that door. And then you go and you do a little bit. Then you come right back into the same room. It's a big horseshoe.
Yeah.
Leads into another exit door in the same room.
Yeah.
And so it's like. And I remember getting back to that actor and they thought that was, like, the greatest thing ever. You know what I mean? They thought that was awesome. But I'm sitting there. I'm actually pretty annoyed and frustrated with this.
Well, you had just had a concussion.
Well, the concussion happened a little later, I thought.
No, it was before that.
Oh, God.
It was right before that.
Yeah, the long and short of the concussion, and this goes back to one of our conversations about child actors, I think we had a while ago.
Yeah, and I think that you've actually told this before on the podcast, but go ahead.
But I'll retell it very briefly then. There was a portion of the haunt where you had to get on your hands and knees and crawl through a section. Fine, throwing ADA compliance out the window, whatever. But so I start doing it, and a child actor, a little girl, comes screaming and running down the tunnel the opposite way, apparently completely oblivious to the fact there are people in it.
Yeah, and there were clothes hanging.
And the clothes hanging.
So you're going through it.
Yeah. You're pushing the clothes, and just head-to-head, bam.
Yep.
Connects with me with a full head of steam.
God.
Yeah, and it hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I saw stars. I saw bright flashes of light.
Yeah.
When I got hit. I mean.
You sat down.
I sat down for a little bit. I actually had to, you know, recover a little before I could move on. I tried to find the girl to see if she was okay. She got up and scampered away and I'm assuming ran behind the scenes to get checked out herself.
Yeah.
But man, what a hit. And that's just, it's, that was not an amaze part of the haunt.
No.
But it was in a haunt that was built as a maze at the same time. And not the good kind of maze.
Right. So, yeah. Don't make it where that can happen.
Yeah.
That scenario should never be able to happen.
No. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I know we sound like a broken record talking about this. Safety is number one.
Yeah.
And between the risks to safety and the risks to capacity, I just don't see a maze inside your haunt as worth it.
Right.
That being said, you want to open up a maze attraction? Godspeed. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
But please, for the love of God, on a capacity-driven attraction like a haunted attraction, do not put in a maze.
Yeah.
It just, it doesn't work. And, but yeah, so long and short of it is, mazes and inside haunts, not our bag. Now, I mean, I'm sure someone else is going to write us and tell us why we're wrong and big stinky poo-poo heads.
Please do.
Please do. Haunt our own Twitter at...
HauntWeekly.com.
Well, Twitter is Haunt Weekly.
I don't know.
Facebook you at do this Haunt part. Weekly. And our domain where you can find us at is Haunt Weekly. We're going to think we're wrapping up the show.
Yeah. Here,
we're just about out of time.
We're Haunt Weekly everywhere.
We're Haunt Weekly everywhere. We're wrapping up the show. We got other things to do, unfortunately. But it has been great fun talking to you guys. And you can find us, though, real fast, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and now, thanks to the introduction to podcasts, on the Google Play Store. We are in all the places that you that finer podcasts are distributed. They Sorry. Clearly do not check who's joining.
No, there's no quality assurance there.
No quality,
there.
no Nintendo seal of approval, none of that going on.
Real quick, we all are recording on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Happy Day Mother's to Day, all yes. the mothers out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Including the haunt moms. Happy
yes.
haunt Mother's Day, too, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. I like that. That was good. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for wasting the entirety of an hour with us. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys next week with the news!
Woohoo!
It's a news week next week.
We've got a lot of stuff to cover.
We've got a lot, so I got to get to work on that.
Yep.
See you next week.